Every year in the fall, we begin a process that we call confirmation for any students that are in 7th through 12th grades, and it's a journey through faith where we spend time looking at what the Christian faith means, what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And at the end of that time, students have a choice to join the church and a choice to give a statement of faith. So if you have been through an adult discovery class, at the end of that, and this is actually happening later on today with adults, they will give a statement of faith. They will talk about their faith journey and their belief in God to become members. And we had this happen with 12 of these confirmation students this past Monday night. So Monday night, we were at our other campus, and each student stood up in front of our elders, our session, in front of their family, their friends, some staff, and small group leaders, and they were able to share with us what it is that they believe and some of the things that they have noticed and seen God doing in their lives over time. And so as we this morning recognize those newest members of our church, I want to start by giving you a small peek into what happened Monday night with those statements of faith. And I'm going to invite Brian Carwell to come up. He is a freshman at Bartram Trail High School. He gave his statement of faith and joined the church Monday night. He actually got baptized. We baptized 4 students in the previous service this morning. And so he is going to give his statement of faith for you, and you can listen to this.
Good morning. So confirmation taught me a lot and helped me realize my path was to be in confirmation and join the church this past Monday night. But a few of the most important pieces of my timeline have come from or led up to confirmation. Of course, not all of them have, though. My relationship with Mark Anderson led up to confirmation and came full circle after I started the class. In 5th grade, I went to my first and only K camp, and because I was very homesick and I had never been before, I didn't enjoy it, unlike most people. And while they were having fun, a lot of fun, it was really hard for me. There were some good parts, though, but one important thing happened when I was there. Mark Anderson was the adult of our cabin. He was so nice. He was able to do a ton of playing card and yo-yo tricks, which was so cool to me. And he knew a lot about God and Christianity as a whole. I didn't keep too in touch with him after because I didn't really go to church much, but when I would see him, it put a smile on my face and I would say hi. Once confirmation started, Pastor Jen asked if I wanted him to be my sponsor, and that turned out to be a flawless decision, not only for me to be asked that, but for yes to be the answer. And it turns out I didn't make that decision, and I don't think Pastor Jen did either. God did. Mr. Mark is great, and being in confirmation has been awesome for me, and I hope we continue to stay in touch after. Another section of God's plan for me starts at the beginning of this year, 9th grade. It doesn't really have to do with confirmation, but taking photography this year has been something I'm very thankful for. The most important thing for me was getting Mr. Ray Gonzalez as my teacher. It's been a blessing to have his class at Bartram in the middle of the day. Whatever happens in math right before or whatever I'm not looking forward to after his class being banned or ELA or science can be forgotten about. Being in his class really changes my day and helped mold how my year was going to go. At the start of 9th grade, I felt alone because I didn't have as many friends in my classes as last year and I hadn't made the new ones yet. During that time, Mr. Gonzalez was able to make me smile, and I could talk to him. There were a lot of times my day was not going well, and he was someone I could just really have a conversation with. And this experience is another act of God to me. The last thing about God's path for me that is important for me to talk about is confirmation. When I was younger, I thought I really was a big Christian, but I didn't have much of a relationship with God or understand the religion. Then my life really started to get tough. My life got tough starting in 5th grade and throughout middle school. This is when I decided I wasn't a Christian. It's how I felt at the time, mainly because things in my life jumped ahead of my learning. I really wasn't too interested in confirmation either. My parents told me before I started, what religion you are and whether you get baptized or not is your choice, but it needs to be an educated decision. So I went to confirmation to learn. So when I started, I had an open mind, and after the first 2 months, I think I was leaning towards becoming a Christian and a member of MPC. And so my period of questioning started to end with confirmation. I know lots of things came out of this class, like noticing how God's plan comes full circle, but going to church was another thing. I went to church on March 4th, 2023 with my mom. It was the first in a little while. And this was the first time I truly felt the touch of God. When we read the prayer of confession, I felt my heart rise, and somehow I just felt so relieved of feeling guilt from sin. It felt amazing. It truly made me feel God, and then we recited the Apostles' Creed. That was the first time I truly believed every part of it and every word that came out of my mouth. And that day was when I learned what the Holy Spirit is. So every time I go to church now, it's like a washout of negativity where I can just refresh my week. I still don't go every Sunday, but when I do, it's wonderful. This was thanks to confirmation, and another big thanks to God. Learning about God and Christianity through the confirmation process has not only gotten me closer to God and helped me become a true follower of Jesus, but it helped me to pick out key moments in my life that I can trace back to God. All in all, it led me to figure out that everything will be okay for me because God has a plan and He's with me, and then I'll be in heaven. Along with knowing when things aren't great, Jesus is with me, and He'll find a way to put important and special people in my life when I need them the most. The last thing I want to add is how grateful I am to my parents for bringing me up in a Christian household and giving me the opportunity to go to confirmation and go to church with it, and also giving me the choice of whether I wanted to or not, and the freedom to make that decision for myself, along with being great parents. So thank you guys, and thanks for listening.
So Brian did that on Monday night along with 11 other students, and they were voted into membership. And so they are already official members, but we want to bring them up here and pray over them as a church this morning. So if you are one of those students, come on up. We're going to spread across the platform. And one of the things that we do with confirmation is we match students every year with a sponsor. So Brian talked a little bit about his sponsor, who is Mark Anderson, but every one of our students was matched with a sponsor this year. And sponsors would come to our class times and they would meet with students. They would, sometimes we did fun activities, sometimes we talked about God, we had conversations of faith, and it was a way for them to get to know some of the other people that are in our church. So they're all up here. I want to invite sponsors to come up. So sponsors, come forward and stand behind your students. And if you are, make sure if you're standing next to the person that is going to be praying for you. So if you look in your bulletin on the back cover, there are the names of all of our students listed there. And since the early days of the church, individuals coming into the church, becoming members and joining, have had people lay hands and pray over them, which is what we're going to do. And as sponsors pray over each of these students and give this blessing, we would invite you to pray along in your head silently, praying for them as well. And so I'm going to hand the microphone to Maria, and you can start. Oh, and students can kneel. Go ahead and kneel so you're short enough.
Tessa, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
Christian, may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ always be with you.
Charlie, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
John Presley Chu, may the grace and the peace of our Lord always be with you.
Brian, may the grace and the peace of our Lord always be with you.
Ella, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
Scarlett, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
Ruby, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
Brooke, May the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
Annabeth, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you. Braylon, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
Anna Caroline, may the grace and peace of our Lord always be with you.
So you can stand, and let's welcome our newest members to Mandarin Presbyterian Church. So I want to read to you a charge. It's scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Go forth into this world as witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Amen. And let me pray for us again. God, we are grateful for these students. We are grateful for their courage to follow you, to stand up and say what it is that they believe, and we pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would walk closely with them, keep a firm grip on hand on their lives. And God, be with them as they are light in our world. Use them in their schools and activities, the places where they find themselves, so that others may know your love as well. So we pray your blessings over them. We thank you for their families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. And Andrew.
What a great gift it is to be able to experience that together. I was able to be there Monday night and hear each of them share their story about what God has been doing and is doing in their life, just like Brian did this morning, which thank you for that. And it's amazing to see how God ministers to each of us in the way that we need to be ministered to, and how He saves each of us in the way that each of us needs to be saved. So would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, what a privilege it is to serve you and to be the body of Christ. And so as we reflect on the story that we heard Brian share and so many of the other stories represented up here, that it is about your Spirit working through your community in order to raise up disciples. The Lord, we couldn't do this. We could not walk with you if it weren't for your Spirit indwelling us and your people coming alongside of us. Thank you for all of these sponsors who are up here. Thank you for all of the leaders and volunteers in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, so many people who give and serve with whatever they have and are used by you. We thank you for that. And we lift up each of these folks, Lord, Annabeth, Anna, Christian, Brian, Presley, Ruby, Tessa, Charlie, Scarlett, Ella, Brooke, and Braylon. We thank you for the statement of faith that they have made, the courage that they have taken in that to give themselves to you, Lord, to entrust their lives to you. Lord, I pray they would always know that your Spirit is with them through the best of times, through the worst of times, through seasons of joy and success, and especially through the seasons of grief and loss and hardship. You are with them. I pray that you would always encourage them, Lord, that their church is there for them as well. And that all of us, as a church filled with broken people made whole by you, that we would walk alongside these families and these young men and women and alongside one another to encourage in the faith. Gracious God, as we look around us at our city, in our nation, our world, our culture, we see brokenness. We see tragedy. We see so many things going wrong in our world, yet, Lord, you call us to gather in your name, to gather around your word, and to draw near to you, and so we do that. Jesus, we want to be as close to you as we can be. So draw us deeper and deeper into fellowship with you. Transform us, Lord, so that as we go out into the world, wherever it is that you send us, in our schools, in our homes, in our offices, wherever it might be, that we would be agents of transformation, that we would shine your light in even the smallest moments of our lives, the smallest interactions we have with others, that we would share your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time to collect the tithes and offerings, if you are a guest today, we do not expect you to give. Please don't worry about that. We do ask you, though, what is your next statement, your next step in your faith journey? If you fill out one of these connection cards, and you can either put it in the offering plate when it comes around or hand it off at the welcome desk in the lobby as you leave, we would love to talk to you about getting involved at our church. We would love to answer any questions you have about how we grow as followers of Christ here at Mandarin Presbyterian Church. Or if you're just in one of those moments in your life where you don't know what to do and you need somebody to pray with you, that would be our honor to be able to pray with you as well. So will the ushers please come forward to collect the tithes and offerings?
Please stand. God, we are grateful for the things that you have given to us, the blessings of our lives, and we pray that you would use these gifts, not only in the life of this church, but in Jacksonville and the world and beyond. So use these things that all people can know your grace, can know your love for us, and to know your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're just going to keep moving things around. Don't panic, Devin. I'm taking your music stand. I don't love aging. And there seems to be more and more reminders of it the older that I get. When you'll see things or you'll hear things, and you think, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Or, oh, we don't do that today like that. Or, like yesterday, looking at my Facebook feed and seeing people that I graduated school from and going to my children and saying, do I look this old? They live far away, so they won't know I said that. But growing up back in the days when people actually watch television, where you would watch like a show every week at the same time on TV, there would be occasional times where you'd be watching that show that you were excited about, the one that you lived to see, and everything would freeze. And all of a sudden, there would be a message or a recording that said something like, "We interrupt the regularly scheduled programming to bring you this important message." And then something would break through, and you just, you know, completely lose the thing that you really cared about. A little bit of that is happening today, but we have lots that we care about. But we're going to interrupt our sermon series on toxic people and focus on another important message. So today we are welcoming the 12 confirmation students into membership at our church. And then following this service, we are celebrating our high school seniors, our seniors that are graduating, with a lunch for them and for their families. So that is another big thing that is happening today. And as important as it is for us to talk about toxic people, they can wait another week, because it's also important for us to talk about good things that are happening in faith here in real time. And I am really grateful for Brian saying yes to sharing his statement of faith this morning. I'm glad that you all were able to hear that. And you're going to be able to hear some more stories today from seniors, three different seniors that went through confirmation when they were in middle school. Now they are at another place where there is a new adventure in front of them, a new season of them, their lives to start. And they have stories of being a part of our church over time, being people who follow Jesus over time. And so they're going to share some of that today, because it's important for us that whatever age we are, it is important for us to be able to articulate and to be able to say what it is that we believe, and also to be able to talk about our life in action, what faith looks like in our lives as we live that out. It's important for our actions to reflect the words that we say. And so it's this idea of belief embedded with action that brings us to our text this morning. So our scripture today is from Matthew 22, and it's verses 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So if you ever find yourself getting overwhelmed by the Bible, thinking there's no way that I'm going to be able to remember all of this, to read through all of this, to know all of this, we have help. We can give thanks to those religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, for asking Jesus this question to really help us to know what the most important commands are, what the most important things are as we seek to live out our Christian faith, our lives as disciples, our lives as followers of Jesus. And so the Pharisees kind of went back and forth with the Sadducees, trying to trap Jesus with their questions. They're asking him different things, trying to get him up against a wall so that he'll say something that they can use to incriminate him, or something that they can use against him. And the Sadducees, we're told, just had their turn unsuccessfully, and so now the Pharisees are up. And they ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And when they're talking about the law, it's the entire Old Testament, all of those Hebrew texts. And they even had some debate among themselves that would banter this question back and forth. What is the greatest? What is the most important? And then Jesus replies, elevating two commands above all of the others, probably putting them together for the very first time. As we think about spiritual formation, as we think about growing in our faith, faith is a journey. It's a process, and it lasts a lifetime. Author Amanda Drury writes about faith formation by pointing to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which reads, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then she goes on and she talks about the spiritual formation process like this. It's the process in which one is transformed into like-mindedness with Jesus Christ while simultaneously resisting the pull to be formed into the mold of this world. We believe at the church that the process of spiritual formation is one that begins at birth. It is one that begins with parents being the primary formers of faith. And then as the church, we get to join families in this. We get to come around them and make promises to them in baptism. And we get to support our kids in every phase in our nursery. We love and care for babies. And as we do that, it helps them to begin to trust. When infant needs are met and when they experience consistency and love and care from those who are their parents, their caregivers, they are able to develop the ability to trust, which then allows them to believe that God can be trusted. And as we engage kids in the Bible, as we teach them stories of Scripture, and we invite them to pray, and we give them opportunities to serve, they begin to learn the language of faith. And then as we encourage students to ask questions, and as we walk with them as they wrestle through hard things, as we give them places to articulate with honesty their beliefs and their doubts and their decisions, in all of that, faith is formed. And it doesn't stop in childhood. It doesn't stop at confirmation. It doesn't stop at graduation. Growing in faith happens over time. As adults, we live into our faith each day as we choose to allow ourselves to hear God in new ways. We grow in faith as we allow ourselves to understand Scripture and to apply it to our lives. And we grow in faith as we open ourselves to correction. When we end up having our lives looking more like the world's version of what a Christian is versus Jesus' version of what a Christian is. And in our text today, the adults, the religious leaders, had something new they needed to learn and experience. In these two commands, loving God and loving others, those were not two things that Jesus invented or just came up with in the moment. Those are actually two commands that were already there. They are found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. And so they were part of a longer set of rules or commands that those Pharisees would have been very familiar with, that they would have memorized and learned as a young child. But Jesus holds them up and puts them together in a new way. In a way that elevated these two things in importance, loving God and loving others. And if we do those two things faithfully, with all of who we are, with all of our being, we will grow in faith whatever age that we are. Those are words that are very easy to say, but if you have tried to live them out, you will find that they're more difficult to actually live into with truth. Because we do have all of those pulls, those things that are pulling around us, things like pride and selfish ambition, and we can make idols out of just about anything. So we do that with things like work or money or politics. We're pulled by being tempted to be judgmental, by wanting to be in control, by addictions that have a handhold in our life. All of those things pull us from loving Jesus with all of ourselves and pull us from loving others with all of ourselves. All of us, no matter our age, are in a process of faith formation. And so we are in the process of living those two things out more fully in our lives each day. And today you are going to get to hear from three different students that are part of our church, part of our ministry, people that have been here over time, and they're going to share how their faith has grown in their love for God and their love for others while they have been at MPC. So ignore the order that they're listed in your bulletin. We're going in a different order, and that's going to be just fine. But Mary Grace, come up, and you're going to go first.
Good Good morning, MPC. Hi, everyone. All right, so I'm Mary Grace. I'm currently a senior at Creekside High School. In the fall, I'll be studying nursing at Florida State University in their Honors College, so I'm sorry to all my Gators in the audience. I've been a part of MPC for many years. I became an official member of the church through confirmation as well. I still remember going through confirmation and the process of joining the church when I was in middle school, which is kind of impressive because I can barely remember what I had for breakfast most mornings. And this is like way back when Vineyard Vines and scrunchies were like still socially acceptable to wear. I'm a senior now, graduating in 2 weeks. And in the time since confirmation and my middle school years, I've grown immensely in my faith journey. And I've formed an unbreakable relationship with God. Perhaps one of the greatest things I have learned, however, in my time here is the importance of friendship and being kind to others, which means to love others like God does. And I'm not talking about like flower power friendships and pixie dust that they talk about on Disney Channel shows. I'm talking about living our lives as Matthew 22 verses 34 through 40 command, which is to love others to love God. I'm talking about doing the less fancy part of being a good friend, which means listening to them when they need to talk about something. I'm talking about showing compassion to that person at school that others make fun of. I'm talking about loving your enemies despite your differences. There's another Bible verse that I think works well with Matthew 22, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It commands us to encourage each other and build one another up, just as you were doing. To be a good friend is to be encouraging and to speak words of kindness. My eighth grade year, the year that I went through confirmation, it was a tough year for me. I was not popular by any means, and I found that middle school girls can be kind of mean. I think that most people can agree with me when I say that middle school is one of the toughest years of schooling. I have found my place at MPC with my youth group and had formed God-centered deep relationships with them, but outside of church, I was lonely. School was hard, and I didn't feel wanted. I often sat alone at lunch or with a librarian. It's kind of embarrassing. I was at this point in my faith journey where I was becoming a member of the church, and I was trying to strengthen my relationship with Christ, yet I felt very lost. I spent many days wondering why I wasn't being invited to things and why I was being excluded. But as much as it stank to be in the position that I was in, I didn't even have it the worst out of everybody. There was another girl in one of my classes who had been relentlessly bullied all year. People would block off her locker so she couldn't get inside, and they'd make super mean comments like straight to her face. I possessed little courage and confidence to stand up for her, and I struggled with the guilt of knowing that I could help her, but I was too scared to. I mean, I was this string bean blonde tween, like nobody was gonna take me seriously anyways. Except I could feel that tiny tug on my heart, and it slowly grew stronger, and I knew God was telling me that I had to stand up for her. So I did. The next time I saw someone picking up on her, I gathered enough confidence and began my journey towards living a life through Matthew 22. I'll never forget the look of shock and delight on her face when she realized that somebody was standing up for her and treating her as a human being, treating her as a sister in Christ. We became decent friends over the year, and we still follow each other on social media to this day. I hope that through our friendship, I was able to show her the light of Christ, and she realizes her beauty and her worth through him. I did my best to love her through Christ. I'm still working on becoming a good friend and living my life according to Matthew 22, but my faith is growing stronger every day. Like Pastor Jen said, our faith journeys are constant. They're 24/7, and how we live reflects what we believe. How we act reflects upon him. So as Christians, we are called to be kind, to love our neighbors, and to be active disciples. We must live our lives according to his word and to spread his light to everybody, no matter if they're your enemy or if you think they're different. It's been 4 years since that experience in middle school, and it'll take the rest of my life to be the perfect friend. But it's a journey I can't wait to go on because everyone in their life deserves a Matthew 20:20 friend. My mom is the best example of a person in my life who is loves and is kind to everyone so effortlessly, and I look up to her more than anyone. She fears God and doesn't hold grudges against those who have wronged her. She raised me to be inclusive and kind to everyone I meet because you never know what is going on beneath the surface, which is the most important lesson that I've learned in my walk with God. To the confirmation students, I offer you my best advice. going into high school and throughout your years in school, be a Matthew 22 friend to not just your closest friends, but even to your farthest strangers, because it's not only a vital part of you becoming a part of the church, but also your entire discipleship with Christ. And to everyone else, I give you a similar challenge to be kind to everyone and to love others to love Christ. Thank you.
That's better.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lauren Castillo. I'm also a current senior at Creekside High School, where I've been very involved with the Engineering Academy on campus. For that reason, I plan to study civil engineering in college and hopefully go on into the structural subsection. I've grown up here at MPC, and many of you know my mom or my brother. I've been pretty involved with all of the different camps and extracurriculars and CRAVE, Hang 10. I'm currently the 8th grade girls small group leader, and I was back there when I was 6, when it was Kids Space before the name changed, and then back to Kids Space. So I've been here a long time. All of these programs are so amazing, and they've impacted my life in so many different ways, but that's not the real reason why I love this church. My faith journey has been pretty complex, zigzag, if you will, always progressing, but in different directions. My belief in God never really faltered, but my belief in myself often did. As many of you know, my mom is in her 5th year with living with esophageal cancer. So for those of you who don't know, an esophagus is this tube in your throat that kind of delivers the food from your mouth to your stomach to be digested. So you can see why a blockage there would be kind of problematic. So I've processed this, I've had a lot of ups and downs, and I haven't always processed it in the right way and turned away from support that was right in front of me, in favor with dealing with my emotions myself, because I thought it would be easier. Because as most teenagers do, I thought I knew everything. And shocker, I didn't. To be honest, I didn't always do a good job. I decided to become so busy that I wouldn't have to face my emotions. I threw myself into school activities and focusing so hard on the wrong things. I was determined to win awards and compete at the top levels for things that I was interested in. And I can't say that I regret my time and my accomplishments that I spent in school, but I can say that I forgot what was truly important in my determination not to deal with my emotions. I was so focused on temporary gratification that I forgot about the ultimate gratifier, the unconditional, never-ending love from God Himself. However, throughout this journey, my family has never failed to feel the undying love and support that this church so freely gives. This community has truly shown my family what it means to support one another in Christ. This support comes in the form of meal trains, driving my brother to soccer practice, helping my mom around the house, and so many other things that I can't even begin to name because I will be here for 3 hours. So this church has never failed to point me on the right path and remind me how much our family is loved and cherished, and for that, I am forever grateful. I have seen the impact that this church not only has had on me, but in my faith journey, but on my mom and my brother, and her never failing grace and determination to fight. This church has held us up on so many occasions and given my mom the support she needs without ever faltering. And for that, I am proud to be the member of this church and grateful for the time that I've spent here. It has taught me so much, and I will carry the lessons that I have learned here for the rest of my life. I cannot promise that the rest of my journey won't be messy or unpredictable or difficult, but I can promise that I'll continue to be the person that you made possible. Thank you.
My name is Olivia Wilson, and I am a senior at Paxson School for Advanced Studies, representing Duval in this church. I am headed to the University of South Florida this summer, and I have been at Mandarin Presbyterian basically since birth. I was baptized on the stage in 2005, and I've been here ever since. Throughout my time at MPC, I've been through pretty much all of our youth events, including VPK, Pre-K, K-Camp, SCAMP, Hang 10 Weekends, Confirmation, CRAVE, a mission trip to Tennessee, The Awakening, and later on coming back to volunteer at those set events like a counselor at SCAMP, becoming part of work crew at the middle school events, summer K-Camp counselor, and even a year as a kindergarten Sunday school teacher. Over the past years, I have grown tremendously in my faith at this church. It has provided me with a fun-loving environment with cheerleaders who have supported me through all of my endeavors. This place became where I could be transparent and have discussion. This church has provided me with opportunities to share the light of the Lord. For instance, in our mission trip over last summer to Tennessee, my group was assigned to help out an elderly home where we showed love to some who hadn't seen their family in years and watched them smile as we walked in day after day, and the brightest smiles went on their faces. In addition to the life seasoned people, that's the word we came up with for the older people home, I also created bonds with the girls in the younger grades, for I was one of two senior girls who went on the trip. I had known of each of them, really, just like names, but I really got to create bonds and know them and hear all of their amazing stories. This church has taught me how to love others to love Jesus. I have learned that I can share God's love by how I carry myself in my day-to-day life. And one of my favorite verses, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." As followers, we should know how loving our... As followers, we should not be ashamed in our love of God. I took this verse into school with me when my friend and I created the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Club at our school sophomore year. Every other Monday, we held meetings, playing games, reading scriptures, and discussing how loving, forgiving, and reliable our God is. To spread the news of this club, we've started passing out "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets around the school, and on them, and it had attached a verse and a little tidbit saying, "Hey, like our FCA meetings are Mondays." And we did it with just loving smiles on our faces, no matter the hate we faced. I vividly remember a few individuals who saw what we were doing and asked what it was and laughed, straight up laughed in our faces. Instead of criticizing, I asked if they would like one, and some took it while others did not. But this did become apparent in our next meeting when our size doubled. Our purpose was to create a youth at our school that would spread the light of God in the dark. We ended up building bonds at our events by discussing how we could strive to make a difference and make agape love present in our school. At our awakening here, I learned what agape love was. It's God's love for us, which is never changing and unconditional. Here, I learned how to strengthen my relationship with Jesus and, above all, love. Through the church, I have learned the importance of loving others, which has shaped me into who I am today and who I strive to become in life. I know that Jesus is the light of the world, and it is our mission as followers to share his love. Lastly, I would like to say that I am forever grateful to my parents, small group leaders, confirmation leaders, Ms. Barb right there, and whoever else has shaped me into who I am today.
Thank you, each of you, for sharing part of your lives, part of your faith with all of us, and for giving us such great examples of what it looks like to love others and to love God. And so as we come and kind of conclude and wrap this up, those are the two ideas that Jesus gives us, the greatest commandments, to love God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, strength, all of it, and to love others as we care and love for ourselves. And so as we think of the stories that they shared, we can ask ourselves some of those questions. What if we all practiced the less fancy parts of being a good friend? What if we all found ways to love our enemies despite our differences? What if we all stood up to bullies and cared for those who can't stand up for themselves? What if we all were willing to get messy and to tangibly care for the needs of people around us? What if we all had the courage to bring Jesus into our places of work or school, activities, our weekends, wherever it is that we show up? What if we all lived our lives in relationships with others so that we could be light in our world? Loving God and loving others, the greatest commandments. And when you think about it, that is the mission of our church, loving others to love Jesus Christ. So if we are growing in faith, those are the two things that we are growing in. In the Presbyterian Church, we celebrate two sacraments, which sets us apart from some different denominations. And the two sacraments we celebrate are baptism, which we just did at the first service today, and then communion, or the Lord's Supper. And we celebrate these two sacraments because these are the two things that Jesus both did himself and commanded us as followers to do. So Jesus was baptized himself and then said, go and baptize all people, all nations. And Jesus shared in the Lord's Supper. He had that Last Supper with his disciples, and he told them to do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning, as a church, as a body of Christ and believers, we come to this table, joining people around the world that share our convictions, our faith, and our beliefs.